when God recovered man from the deep waters, and he created man in his image. But shortly after, right, Satan came into the sea, and man fell, right? And because of how fallen man became, this ushered in God's punishment, his judgment. He had to bring about a flood to wipe out everything. But through the redemption of the ark, Noah and his family obtained the right to possess his land and to enjoy its riches. And another example is when God, you know, wanted to bring the children of Israel into a piece of land, right? But they kept on drifting away into Egypt, so God had to keep on bringing them back to this land. And from all these scenarios, right, we can see a pattern here that God's desire for his chosen people is always to recover them back to this land. And, you know, even though the stories in the Old Testament, right, they explicitly pertain to the children of Israel and a physical piece of land, but we also need to realize, right, that everything in the Old Testament is merely but a shadow of the realities in the New Testament. The children of Israel signify the saints in the church, right, and the piece of land signifying the all-inclusive Christ himself. So this really reveals that in all our situations, every day, right, God wants to continually draw us back, to recover us back, and to for us to fully grasp this piece of land, which is the all-inclusive Christ himself. So many people, right, they simply only know Christ as the Lamb, and they don't know Christ as this vast piece of land. And this is very true and wonderful, right? Christ is the Lamb. You know, he suffered to the uttermost, paid the ultimate price, and died for us, shedding his blood to redeem us from our sins. This is very true and wonderful, but not many people know that Christ is this vast piece of land for us to fully grasp hold of. And, you know, as human beings, practically speaking, we really depend on land. We stand on land, we dwell on land, we find shelter on land, we eat and drink from this land. And everything about our existence seems to really depend on land. So Christ being this vast piece of land pertains to how Christ can be our everything in all our situations. And no matter how real everything in this world may seem, right, the reality is that everything is merely but a shadow of the reality, which is the all-inclusive Christ himself.
Amen.
So, you know, as I was saying earlier, of course, as human beings, you know, we need a lot of things practically, right, like food. But in all of these things, we need to realize that Christ is the reality of all these things.
Okay.
Right? Maybe you are hungry and eating food, but do you realize that Christ is your true food? Maybe you are sitting on a chair, as you guys are all doing right now. And chances are, you're experiencing rest from sitting. Do you realize that Christ is your true rest? And there was a paragraph I really enjoyed from day one. I'll just read it now. It says, what is this piece of land? Never forget that this land is the all-inclusive Christ. It is not just Christ, but the all-inclusive Christ. If I were to ask you if you have Christ, you would answer, praise the Lord, I have him, I have Christ. But I would ask you what kind of Christ you have. I'm afraid that in your experience, you have just a little Christ, a poor Christ, not an all-inclusive Christ. I feel like this is a sobering word, right? Because it brings out the realization, like, have we experienced Christ in such a full way? Do we realize that he is our true food, our true rest, our true shelter, our true supply, and many other things? This even reminded me a bit of Apostle Paul in Philippians, because Paul realized, right, that the Christian life is a life of aggressively laying hold of this Christ. And he no matter how real some things may have seemed or how good they may have seemed, he counted all things as loss and refuse, that he would gain Christ. So, yeah, saints, may we realize that Christ is this vast piece of land. In order to fully gain Christ, we need to continue to explore and take possession of this vast piece of land.
Amen.
And not be content even with what we've already possessed or experienced on this land. We must expand in our territory in this vast land. So, going on, can we read in day 4, Roman numeral 3? the various pagan tribes that occupy the land signify the Tigris as our nature life. Can we also read letters A, B, and C?
The gods, idols of the pagan tribes, with the demons behind them, represent the spiritual forces of evil. Behind our natural life are the forces of evil, who utilize, manipulate, and direct aspects of our natural life to frustrate us from taking possession of the all-inclusive Christ and enjoying his riches. Because our natural life frustrates us from possessing Christ and enjoying him, we must hate it, and as we grow in Christ, be willing to try it out.
So I just really appreciate it from this portion that there's realization that there's a spiritual warfare going on in all our situations in our ordinary living. And within there's the spiritual warfare, you know, there's not only one way we can experience Christ, but in all things we can experience Christ. Actually, we can experience Christ in such a dynamic way. And, you know, as what was being said in the points we just read in Exodus, right, there were these pagan tribes occupying the land. They were referred to as Canaanites. And the Canaanites, they signify the different aspects of our natural life. And, you know, in our natural life, of course, we have a lot of sinful tendencies. Right? We have lust, anger. But even, we have a lot of naturally good qualities in our natural life. And maybe you're just naturally a very virtuous person. Right? But whether it's the good or bad things, our default tendency is to do and say according to what we feel, you know, and acting independently from the Lord's life. For example, maybe you're in like a pitiful situation, a very upsetting one, and you know, you're very angry, and you don't like try to lose your temper, right? It just spontaneously happens. This is our natural life. And even in a situation, even like, let's just say you're naturally very like virtuous person, maybe. Right, and naturally, like spontaneously, you always try, right, to do things out of your own effort to do good deeds. But whether it's in the good and bad or bad things, we need to realize that our natural tendency is to act independently from the Lord's life. So we need to realize that it's not only in the sinful in our we not only need to be saved from our sinful tendencies, but we also need to be saved from the naturally good qualities in our life. We need to be saved from a life of living a life that's independent from the Lord. We need to take the Lord's life as our true life. In both what we do, what we say, and even in what we think.
Amen.
I also enjoyed the last paragraph in day 3. It said, "We all have confessed our sins, failures, and shortcomings, so forth. But have you ever asked the Lord to forgive you for not living by Christ? Have we ever confessed for not taking the Lord's life as our life?" Right? So, in experiencing Christ as our reality and supply in all our situations, in taking Christ's life as our life, we can be preserved in Christ in this as this good land. And we can fully grasp this all-inclusive Christ as this vast piece of good land. So, yeah, saints, may we really realize, right, that Christ is this vast piece of land. And to fully gain Christ, we must take possession of this vast land and even not be content with what we've already possessed. We must expand our territory in this vast land of the all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
So, with that said, maybe I'll open up to further sharing.
Amen.
you know, just follow James' opening.
Amen.
Amen. So this week we're entering into this new series, right? This is from the winter training, semi-annual training. The title is pretty long, I think, right? Maybe it's good that we can, I'll just read it. The title
Fighting
is...
Fighting for the good life.
That is short. I'm talking about the entire title.
General
title. Laboring on the all-inclusive Christ, typified by the good land, for the building up of the church as the body of Christ, for the reality and the manifestation of the kingdom, and for the bride to make herself ready for the Lord's coming. Amen. Amen. So, I think the verb is laboring, right? We're laboring on the all-inclusive Christ. And this is, in terms of the Bible references, actually it's taking us back to thousands of years ago, right? When the Israelites were, saved by the Lord, right? To led out of Egypt through Moses. And then the Lord wants them to occupy, right? To take possession of this land of Canaan, right? The good land. Amen. The land that's filled of milk and honey, right? And actually the spies first went in, and they did see, right? The fruit was so big, right? The grapes and pomegranates. It was wonderful, right? It is truly a land of flow of milk and honey. But they were also very discouraged. The land is good. But then when they see the people there, the inhabitants there, they were all scared, right? Some of them were remnants of the Nephilim. So those were the giants, right? I don't know why, these people maybe they escaped the big flood for some reason, right? Some remnants of the Nephilim were still there. So those were giants, and they were seemingly very powerful. The Israelites were really scared about, because of that, we all know, right? They have to really wander around in the wilderness for 40 years until the first generation all die, and only the second generation can get into the good land. We're all familiar with the story, but I feel like, it is, in one aspect, it's also very good for us to really remember the facts in the Bible. Because this has a very, on one hand, this is the facts, but on the other hand, there's a spiritual significance. But what I'm saying is, the facts is also very helpful for us to realize the spiritual application, right?
Amen.
And, so today we actually enter into this first message is fighting for the good land. So in order to possess this land, and we all know this land, right, through the message we see that really help us to see this good land. On one hand, it is typifying the all-inclusive, the rich Christ, right?
Right.
Amen. The rich, the good land is really the Christ himself. But on the other hand, it also, typifies a negative side, right? Because there is this, the Canaanites, because this is this evil spiritual power, we can say, in the heavenlies, right? These are against God's people to enter, to possess the good land. So this has much application to us. That is why, the picture or the history of Israelites has very much to do, you can say this is actually our history, right? For all the Christians today, a lot of times we all know, yes, Christ is rich, Christ is all-inclusive, he's everything, he's the positive aspects, right? Positive, I think, in the universe. But a lot of times, are we actually, in our daily experience, we feel like a lot of struggle. We just cannot, right? Sometimes even to open our mouth to pray, it's very difficult, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when we're in an oppressed situation, when the principalities were fighting, like suppressing us, right? So, here, it really reminds us that, yes, there is a spiritual warfare to be fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we need to see that we cannot escape the fight, right? Sometimes we may be scared, right? Oh, this is just so much. we all want to say, you know, come to the meeting. It is actually easier to be in the meeting, you can say, right? Because saints, we're all saying, we all be in the spirit. But then when we go back outside the meeting, it is difficult, right, for us to really live a normal Christian life. Now, of course, we need companions, but of course, we cannot be 100 times, you know, 24/7, right? So a lot of times we're sort of left alone, right? Or especially, like, let's say, if you're in a work situation, where you're in a study, whatever, you know, you're by yourself, right? So saints, this is really something that we need to, you know, really learn how to fight, right? And also, when we need to learn how to fight, we also know what enemies we're fighting, right? And actually, in Israelites, I just want to, you know, spend some time. You know, there are actually a few of the tribes that were actually fighting before they entered into the good land. Actually, here it says that these are the door guards, right? Like the goalkeepers, you know? Like if you play soccer, right? If you the goalkeepers will try to prevent you for scoring, for right, kicking to the goal. So these are the goalkeepers. These are the door guards. So what are the door guards, right? We know that the Amalekites fight at Israel, right? Mm-hmm. And the Amorites, right? The Amorites, the king of Bashan, right? Bashan, yeah. And what's his name? Og, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then there's other king. What's his name?
Arad.
Yes, Arad. That's right. Those are all the Amorites. Mm-hmm. So these, you know, if you see these tribes, they're actually all very much to do. They're actually, you can say these are long-time relatives of Israelites, right? The Amalekites were the grandson of Esau, right? Who is the brother of Jacob. And, of course, the Amalekites are their descendants. And the Amorites are actually the descendants of Lot, right? Which is also, you know, in their family tree. What does that mean? I'm not saying that your relatives is actually, you know, trying to prevent you going to the good land to enjoy Christ. It's actually ourself, right? This is our flesh, you know. This is because when we're saved, supposedly we should be living according to the new life, the life, right, of Christ that has imparted into us. But somehow our relative, right, our flesh, our natural man, is always trying to frustrate us from, like, fully enjoying Christ, right? The new man, you know, it's always frustrating our new man. So we really need, Brother Nee has this book of, he has a message of breaking the outer man to release the inner man. So the only way, as this morning, that we were seeing several hymns, right? The only way that actually the Christ, you know, Lord Jesus has already shown us the way, is the way of cross. There's no other way. Right. The only way is to put our natural man on the cross. Amen. And how do we put it on the cross? I mean, a lot of times we say, oh, you know, I shouldn't be doing this and shouldn't. We try to make a resolution, this and that, and it doesn't help, right? And we all know that the only way to fight the principality is actually take this life-giving spirit. Amen. Because the spirit is the compound spirit, right? The spirit has the killing element, right? The four ingredients in there, you know, really typifies Christ, his human living, right? His death and then the aroma of death and his resurrection and the effect of his resurrection. So we really need to, you know, oh Lord, just call on his name, right? And we all need to remember, you know, at that time, you know, I really praise the Lord for this, this practice of calling on the name of the Lord. A lot of times we cannot even pray, right? But calling on the Lord, that's the easiest way, right? That's the most convenient way to turn to our spirit. You know, oh Lord Jesus. And a lot of times we just, oh Lord, amen. When we're in a spiritual battle, we cannot win by ourselves. Right. We have to turn to the Spirit. Amen. Use the killing power of the life-giving Spirit. Amen. To kill off this natural man. Amen. Kill off anything that frustrates us from enjoying this all-inclusive Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Very sobering word from the training that we see that everything is related to the land. The Lord has given himself to us as the good land. He's the all-inclusive Christ. This is the positive aspect of the good land. But we know that there's a second aspect of the good land, which is the Canaanites, the tribes that were there that were trying to defeat, you know, the saints, defeat us from inheriting and enjoying this land in an experiential way. We know that the children of Israel left Egypt in an army. And it was in this army, you know, that the Lord was going to take them in. They weren't going to go in individually. This is a corporate matter.
Amen.
And so we need to understand that, yes, that we need to fight, but the fighting isn't with swords and guns and that kind of thing. It is to stay in the army with the saints,
Amen.
To travel together with the saints, journey with them, and knowing that the Lord is taking us through. But that we see an example. I love this example about Caleb. We know that Caleb and Joshua were the ones that were not afraid of the Nephilim, of the Anakim, of these, you know, the brother compares these to, they were the most powerful and most evil people on the earth. Just like today, there are men that are ruling this world. This world is ruled by these very powerful and evil men. And so the whole world is under their hand because Satan is the one that is on top of them. But we don't need to be afraid of them like Caleb and Joshua because they are our bread. We don't need to be concerned with those things. We need to understand that we're going to enter the good land. But I enjoyed, you know, Caleb, he was fighting, right? He said that those people were going to be his food, and he was fighting, and even, you know, when he was 85, he was still fighting. And so he said, his portion, we all have a portion, right? Even though, you know, the brother emphasized, every one of us has a portion that no one else has. So Caleb had a portion up on this mountain, and it was Hebron. And though he said to Joshua, he said, give me my land now, right? So he gave him Hebron, and Hebron represents fellowship. It was unending fellowship. And what touched me was that, after he fought with the children of Israel, he fought with them. Then he said he was 85, the Lord had preserved him, that he was stronger now than he ever was. And he went in to have unending fellowship with the Lord, and that's why his land was called Hebron. And so there, you know, of course, you know, it touched me because I'm in this category, you know, of the 70-plus saints, you know, that, you know, when we fight with the saints, and then we have this unending fellowship with the Lord, that we can live in this land, enjoying it, right? It says, Caleb possessed his portion of the land, and it became Hebron for the rest of his days, a place of peace, delight, joy, and rest. And so when we reach, you know, our elderly years, you know, like me, we need to understand that we are now need to live in peace and Hebron in unending fellowship with the Lord and enjoy the Lord as everything, because this land is everything to us, but it can only be everything to us when we have been defeating all these tribes that are within us. They're within our being. That the natural being, which are these tribes, is what these tribes represent, is what we defeat within us. Our natural life are the different aspects of these tribes. And so we see that we need to allow, you know, the Lord to touch all the areas of our being. He knows what needs to be touched. He knows what needs to go. And so that in the last days, you know, the last days of our life, we can actually be in unending fellowship with the Lord, accepting that we are nothing, you know, that we are reduced to nothing. And so everything is, you know, to minister life to all the saints, you know, with our living. You know, the enemy is all the time injecting thoughts into us and making us think that they're our thoughts, but they're really the enemy's thoughts. So, you know, we pray that towards the end that we wouldn't reject the sovereignty of the Lord, because there is the danger that we would say to the Lord, okay, Lord, I can't take this. This is too much. Enough. Don't do anymore. and the Lord would say, okay, I won't, and that he would give us up. And that would be a real shame. So really, that this time we could pray for others. We could pray, and just the unending fellowship with the Lord, that we are praying by enjoying the Lord, by going against the attacks of frustrating us to enjoy the Lord, to enjoy even in the worst circumstances that we might find ourselves in, that we would say, amen, Lord, thank you for this situation, amen. Because now I can enjoy you in spite of it all, in amen. Spite of everything. I can have unending fellowship with you.
Amen.
Sister Ruth went to Taiwan visit for 4 weeks, and she came back. She shared some of her experience, and really encouraged by one of the sisters she shared. This sister serving her when she was young, and this sister have a notebook and writing all the names of the one she served, and also update the petitions of all these things. And this time, Sister Ruth went back, and she also updated the condition of Sister Ruth. And the notebook even, you know, became yellow, because it's such a long time. And also, this sister, every year, will read one time of Bible, and also will sing all the hymns in the hymn book in 1 year. And each day, she will sing several hymns according to the schedule. And she also count the date when the Lord will come, and she's preparing. So I really encourage, because I think this sister live a life, have a very clear goal, and also toward this goal, she really do, you know, make a plan toward this goal, be prepared. And also Sister Ruth experienced the earthquake. Yeah, the big earthquake Sister Ruth also experienced, and she mentioned the Lord's coming quick. And we all know Lord's coming quick, but sometimes we just stupefied by this life, by the worries, by the all the, you know, things in this life. And we know Lord is coming quick, but sometimes we just take a chance, or maybe not that quick, still time. But what if the Lord is coming next year? Are we prepared? I asked my husband how to prepare for Lord's coming. Yeah, actually, I really touched by this week's fellowship. We need to confess not only our sins, but only, you know, we not live by Christ for today's life. Yeah, actually, if you want to prepare to be Lord's coming, I think the better way is to prepare with the Lord, to live a life with the Lord, no matter failure or success. But if this today you live the life with the Lord, then the life is countable. If you live a very wonderful life, but without the Lord, the life is still meaningless. Because for Christians, to measure our successfulness is not like the successful, you know, the worldly concept. But if you live this life with the Lord, that is a successful life. And also, by fight a good fight, how to fight a fight? For Christians, our weapon is prayer. So I really need to confess, you know, need to, Lord, really expose me. For prayer, I really lack of prayer. I really need God's mercy to pray more, because this is our weapon to fight the good fight.
Amen.
So we can't live without the Lord. Also, we can't live without the saints.
Amen.
So we need to grab the Lord and also grab the saints to live this life and be prepared.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I to share a little bit something I enjoyed yesterday from
Amen.
The conference. And you know, the burden of this conference, I think, is always like brother always had the burden for this age group that we really apply what we have learned in the Bible from the message, or what the word we have heard really apply into our daily life. And also, you know, the past campus meeting, we also finished our book of Philippians. And you know, in book of Philippians, the Lord, Paul showed us a lot of secret how he experienced Christ and enjoyed Christ. But on our end, we really need to take action to apply those secret in our daily life. And you know, this week, morning revival also that showed us we need to fight in order to enter into a good land.
Amen.
But this is, for me, it's, I really want to experience this, not only just live it on, you know, just an objective like doctrine, but really it's just a whole spirit to fight this good fight, enter into a good land, and really take possession of this good land. And, you know, we always have fight, like, especially in the morning, right? For me, it's always hard to enjoy the Lord when I, right after I wake up, and if there's a fight there, because it's the enemy. He doesn't want us to enjoy the Lord in the very beginning of the day. You know, and yesterday, brother also mentioned that we sometimes we lean to depend on our feelings. Right? We feel that, oh, it's not good to, we just feel weak to come to the Lord. But actually, the feelings, our feeling is a lie from Satan. We need to fight against it. But we fight against it not by our own natural, like, you know, strength, but by His word. And His word is His promises in the Bible. And, you know, brother also showed us a practical way that we need to pray that we will be showered with mercy every morning. You know, our fight actually depends on the Lord's mercy. I was appreciate that, and he showed us several verses in the Bible, and it's very, very sweet. It's Lamentation 3:22-23. It says, "It is Jehovah's loving kindness that we are not consumed, for His compassions do not fail, that they are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness."
Amen.
Now, loving kindness also can translate it into mercy. Mm. The Lord's mercy is new every morning, and it's because His mercy, we can enjoy Him in the morning.
Amen.
So, you know, sometimes myself, I just feel like, I just cannot exercise my spirit because I'm so weak in the morning. But that's my feeling. We need to reject that, and we need to pray that, Lord, because Your loving kindness and mercy, I can come to You this morning.
Amen.
And also, I appreciate some saints brought it out that, you know, we fight because we exercise our spirit to put ourselves on the cross. Because the enemy actually is a natural man, the flesh within us. So we need to put ourselves on the cross.
Amen.
And after we are on the cross, then we will be brought into resurrection.
Ascension.
Then we can enjoy the resurrection life and the all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
So, yeah, I think in my daily life, I need to practice, apply to turn to Spirit,
Amen.
Put myself on the cross, so that this divine light can flow out through me, then I can really experience what is this good land and all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God wants to be everything to us. Right?
Amen.
This good land is the greatest type, right, in the Old Testament. This is what the Lord wants to bring us into. He wants to bring us into this enjoyment of Himself as the land.
Amen.
So that eventually His body could be built up. Right? His kingdom would be brought in, and the Lord can come back.
Amen.
And so I appreciate it. There's these two aspects of the land. First, the land typifies the all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
And then, secondly, it signifies the evil spiritual authorities, right?
Amen.
So then, because there's this negative aspect of the land, the brothers shared that we have to take care of this matter of fighting. Right, so this training starts with fighting for this good land.
Amen.
Right, many of us are familiar with the all-inclusive Christ, the book, and fighting is towards the end. But actually, if you see in the history, actually the fighting was at the very beginning.
Yes.
The children of Israel, even as they were being brought out of Egypt, God prepared them as an army.
Amen.
And so we must take care of this matter of fighting.
Amen.
And I think the saints have shared so far, you know, the battle, it's not with blood and flesh, right? This battle is against the spiritual authorities, right? These demonic forces, all these gate guards, right, who don't want us to come in. And I appreciate what David shared. Even when we wake up in the morning, we have to have this realization that we are in a battle. So when we wake up in the morning, we may not feel like you know, we should spend time with the Lord. Even in that, we need to be exercised. We need to exercise our spirit to fight. To fight to enter into Christ. To enjoy Him first thing in the morning. And then really the battlefield, as we experience throughout the day, the battlefield, the brother shared, is in our mind. This is where we need to be victorious, right? There's many verses that recently that I enjoy from 2 Corinthians regarding, you know, the matter of the mind. 2 Corinthians 2, Paul says that we would not be taken advantage of by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his schemes.
Amen.
And that word schemes can be translated. We are not ignorant of his mind, his thoughts. Mm-hmm. So certain thoughts that we get, especially when we wake up or of the saints, we have to realize that is not our thoughts. Right? He says we are not ignorant of his schemes. Right? Satan throws these darts. He injects his own thoughts, right? These spiritual forces work to affect our mind, right? We are not ignorant of his schemes. These are not on our thoughts. We need to reject these thoughts. And then further in 2 Corinthians 11, 2, there's more verses related to thoughts. Your thoughts would be corrupted from the simplicity and purity toward Christ. And then 2 Corinthians 3:14, the children of Israel, their thoughts were hardened. And 2 Corinthians 4, the God of this age has blinded the thoughts. Right? And then 10:5, we need to take captive every thought. And so the mind is very important.
Right? Amen.
We really need to be on guard. And Brother Ron shared, we can put on the helmet of salvation.
Amen.
Right? We would be guarded from all these thoughts.
Right?
We need, like David said, we need to claim the Lord's word. Right? We need to apply the word. We have the helmet of salvation. And lastly, I wanted to share, you know, and this matter of fighting, it's not just, you know, personal. This is my own fight that I need to fight with the spiritual forces, right? We need to fight this fight in the body.
Amen.
Right? This is a corporate matter.
Amen.
So since even I encourage us to pray for one another.
Amen.
On the campus, we just finished reading Hebrews. Towards the end, it says, there's a verse that I really enjoy. It says, pray for us. Right? Even though the apostles were instructing, right? They still needed to be prayed for. So we need to pray for one another.
Amen.
We need to even pray that the saints would enter into the enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
Right? It's not just our own enjoyment that we take care of. The fighting, Caleb and Joshua, they fought on behalf of all the people.
Right?
If Caleb didn't receive his portion right away, right? He fought for the whole of the children of Israel.
Yes.
So may we fight for one another by praying for one another.
Amen.
This week that impressed me most is there is a spiritual forces that hinder us to enter the good land and enjoy the good land. In day two, it's mentioned the good land is land of water brooks, springs, and of fountains flowing forth in valley and mountains.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of water. Remember, in a few years ago, maybe people went exploring out of space. They are looking for water. If there is no water, there is no life. So this is mentioning that the good land is full of life. We need to enter into it. But there is a spiritual forces that we cannot see. That is from the Satan rebellions and also the demon. Demon is the creature that from the water after the God's judgment on this earth. Then, like Brother Fiden mentioned, it's always influencing our mind. The first things that is blocking our effort to come to the Lord is our natural life. Natural life is our peculiarity, our pride. Oh, Lord, I know already. That is proud. Why I need to read it again? That is proud. It's inside us. I already read. Oh, it's boring. I already know it. That is one thing that blocking us to see the light. The next one is flesh. Brother here mentioned flesh is blocking us to come to the Lord. That is mentioned in Colossians 3:5 is fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, greediness. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
But praise the Lord, when we enter into the land, oh Lord, it's not like Brother mentioned here, we need to enter to the land like in Zerubbabel, right? With one weapon, one building. Not alone, but with all the saints. To build up the church.
Amen.
And Lord will, he mentioned, will drive out all the our natural mind inside us, little by little. Not go immediately.
Right.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
When we come to the meeting, when we come here, brothers and sisters, even though saints today not too many, but we come here to fight together.
Amen.
To gain the land together.
Amen.
To encourage each other. There is the spiritual forces. We need to pray to the Lord. Oh, Lord, give us the helmet of salvation so the dark not entering into our mind that hinder us to come to the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I believe there's something really in the Lord's heart.
Yes.
Lead us to enter into this training.
Right.
I remember a brother shared, you know, in 1962, that the conference of All-Inclusive Christ is Brother Lee's first conference in the United States.
Amen.
And it's really, a very strategic conference,
right,
because you bring the Lord's recovery into a new stage.
Amen.
And now we, now the brothers, you know, have burden to enter this topic again,
mm-hmm,
right? For laboring on the good land, must have a strong burden to lead the Lord's recovery into a new stage too. And I think that Brother Minjing remind us the general topic actually is laboring on this good land,
mm,
with the purpose. The purpose for building the temple, building the kingdom, to bring him back. And I was thinking, and very interesting, written share, why the first message talking about fighting, right? And I was thinking, how much my daily life was engaged in spiritual warfare.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If I don't have much this experience, that means I don't have much reality,
right,
of laboring in the good land. Right? So this first message, I think, is very important. If we know the goal, the Lord wants to lead us to corporately to labor on the good land, mm-hmm, then unless we know how to fight the spiritual fight, otherwise there's no way we can labor, we can possess and labor on this good land. So I'll just keep very short. I think brother, sister, all share very good. I think two things touch me. One is we need to hate our natural life.
Right.
Because we,
right,
if we don't hate our natural life,
right,
we are not able to defeat,
that's
the
right,
Satan. Because behind our natural life, our soul life actually is the evil forces.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So we really need to have this view. If we are still love, treasure our old man, our natural,
yes,
life, there's no way we are able to defeat the the enemies to possess the good land. And the second thing is we need to engage really, how to engage this spiritual order is through prayer.
Amen.
And we are actually, today, we can fight a fight from Christ's victory, right? He already win the spiritual warfare, right? Amen. We just join his victory,
Amen.
Then we will defeat the enemies. So I think at the beginning of this year, we share about this burden, right? We need to taking root downward and upward. And for this, I think one aspect is we really need to have companions for fighting, right? For prayer, our prayer life, our pursuing life, our gospel, our shepherding life, these all need to be incorporated, starting with companions. So every day, really, we, in order to engage this spiritual warfare, every day we ourselves need to pray.
Amen.
Pray with this kind of fighting, right? Fighting spirit. And really pray for God's interest and pray for one another.
Amen.
And when we really touch this burden, the Lord will lead us. Not only we pray by ourselves, we will pray together with our companions.
Amen.
And even we will have burden to join this church prayer ministry. That is, we need to come to the prayer meeting every day.
Amen.
I think Brother Ron do have a very strong burden about our prayer meeting.
Amen.
And he even say, he said, look at our prayer meeting. He said he usually observe our prayer meeting is individual prayer,
right?
Not corporate prayer.
Mm.
He even says he hear everyone pray 4 or 5 sentences. He said that's individual prayers. It's too long. He said a corporate prayer is 1 or 2 sentences, and will add up to one another.
Build on.
Yeah, build on one another to pray this corporate prayer. I think I'll just touch a little bit on that, but I want to touch one more thing is, this is really meant to speak to all of us, no
Amen.
Matter how old or how young we are.
Amen.
According to the Bible, we see who are able to engage in this warfare. It's every male with 20 years or older.
Amen.
Right? So as long as you are 20 years, I think everyone here, we are 20 years and older. And we are male. Male now means, you know, physically we are male. It's spiritual, we need to be strong.
Amen.
We are strong and we are mature to 20 years old. Is young, right? We don't need to be very old. Actually, when the children of Israel, they went out East Egypt, I think their age distribution, they might be some very old. For example, Moses, right?
Moses
was 80. He's 80, right?
Yeah.
Right? And Aaron must be much older than him.
He's
older than him. Mm-hmm. But when they are going to enter into the good land, only Joshua and Caleb, they are probably near 80 years old. All others, the oldest is 59 years. Because whoever are 20 years older, they're during the 40 years, they all die. So the oldest is 59, right? So the age distribution are actually much younger than they just come out of Egypt.
Right.
So my burden is, you know, okay. Actually, all of us don't think about you are still young or the Lord's burden now is corporate.
Amen.
You know? Every one of us, we need to see Amen. The Lord is speaking to us now. We have no choice. When the body are going to enter into the good land,
Amen.
You need to be in this warfare.
Amen.
Engage in this warfare. So daily, let's pray. And weekly, let's come to the prayer meeting to fight this spiritual
Amen.
Good fight.
Amen.
I just want to follow Brother Kyle. You know, saints, I just enjoyed the training. I've been into many trainings in my church life, but I never heard, you know, when Brother Ron Kangas was talking about prayer, just like Brother Kyle said, this time, you know, the brothers kept saying, this is a strategic training for our preparation before the Lord returns, to prepare us. And I couldn't believe it when I heard Brother Ron Kangas share about what should be the proper way to prayer, to pray together. And he said, no long prayers. He said, such a long prayer, then no one can, you know, you can't build on it. Because by the time that brother finishes after 20 minutes, you can't build on that prayer. I never heard the brother share so practically, saints. And I'm so sorry if you miss it, saints. You need to hear it, because this is the way to prepare ourselves for the Lord's return. And you know, I had to smile when he said it, because I pray with the saints in Shanghai, District 8, and we have a lot of African students, and they come out of Christianity, and when they pray, it's like 20 minutes later, one finishes, then another one prays, and 20 minutes later, you can't really build on the prayer. So I just had to smile, but this is Christianity. Christianity is for the individual Christian, to build ourselves up individually. So, you know, it's a lot of vainglorious prayers, but the real corporate prayer is short. The next one latches on to the sentence that the brother may have finished, and then builds the prayer, one after another. And so then you bring the whole prayer meeting into the spirit. But anyway, saints, I'm really touched with section 3. Now, praise the Lord for this ministry. It says in E, it says, God promised to drive out the pagan tribes. And you see in Exodus 23, God said, little by little, that brother shared, little by little, he would drive them out. But it says, God's people had to cooperate with him. God needs our cooperation by taking the initiative in destroying them. And Brother Ron Kangas shared, taking initiative, he said, versus passivity, being passive in our daily living. We have to take the initiative to exercise our spirit, join ourselves with Christ to fight the spiritual warfare. He said, being passive encourages Satan's attacks. So we have to abide in him. And the Lord said, abide in me and I in you. Amen. And then F, it says, the more Christ increases in us, the more we will be able to cooperate with God in driving out the natural life. And saints, I'm really touched. I without the ministry, I don't understand the Bible. But with the ministry, the Bible is so clear. The Old Testament, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they marched out as an army. But what did the Lord Jehovah do first? Is he gave them manna. He fed them. And then the smitten rock, living water, he quenched their thirst. So, and then they were ready to fight on their own. All this time Jehovah fought for them. Who was the first enemy that came? Amalek. Amalek, the flesh,
signifies the flesh, came to fight. But only after the children of Israel were fed and nourished and sustained, then they had the strength to fight. The same way with us spiritually, saints. I was really touched with, because this morning I was listening to Brother Ron Kander share again. He said, first of all, when we exit spirit, we need to be nourished in the Lord. We need to be strengthened with the Word of God. I think Brother Vaden shared about the Word. We need the strengthening. Then we can fight. Otherwise, we cannot fight flesh with flesh. You know, it's like, it's impossible with our natural strength. I know I have failed so many times. I told the Lord, Lord, I have this habit. I know it's bad and I don't want it. But then I try to do it on my own, and saints, I always fail. Because you cannot fight flesh with flesh,
right,
with your natural strength. You need the Lord to strengthen you in the Word and the Lord Himself as a spirit. Then you can slay the natural life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sorry, I think because of time, probably conclude. I feel very burdened for our entrance into these set of messages taken from the previous training. And as mentioned, actually, I really hope, this is really my prayer for myself and all of us, that in the next 11 weeks, we could approach this in a way of training. I know we're not in a video training or live training, but these messages were spoken in a way of training. And what does that mean? Actually, I appreciate our brother brought this out, is that these messages, of course, were first spoken in the 1960s. So you do the math, right? All these years. And, you know, this phrase, all-inclusive Christ. Jonathan, haven't you heard of that before? It's so common among us, right? But I really, this is, again, my prayer for all of us. That we wouldn't take anything for granted. You know, I'm not a new believer. I'm also not the oldest in this room. But I know that I have a lot of knowledge. But if we were to take this in a way of training, then we would ask ourselves, do I have a sufficient experience, enjoyment of the all-inclusive Christ? And brothers and sisters, I'd be the first to admit, I am lacking in my experience of the all-inclusive Christ. You know, these messages are not meant for us to speak about others. Actually, if we take this as a way of training, we'll allow the light to shine on us.
Amen.
Right. Lord, do I have a sufficient experience of this point? And I really hope this will really guide us. You know, this coming week two, there's a phrase there, renewed training. Brothers and sisters, we need to have a renewed training of all of these points, right, so that we can really have the benefit and so the Lord could gain what He is after. I just have 3 points. I'll be very quick. Some of this has been mentioned already. The first one is to see, and this I believe was sufficiently brought out, that we, as God's people, are an army. The Lord gave me a verse this morning in Exodus 12, when the children of Israel were eating the Passover lamb. You know, it's very interesting. There was an instruction there. You shall eat it in this way. There's a particular way. You know how they ate it? With their loins girded, with sandals on their feet, and with a staff. And if you look in the footnote, it says that the children of Israel ate the Passover lamb as an army, ready to make their exodus out of Egypt. So this morning, you know, when we were enjoying the table, did we have that sensation, saints? That we were enjoying Christ, our Passover lamb, as an army, right? Our loins were strengthened, our sandals on our feet, and we are making our exodus. Oh, saints, we first need to realize that we are part of this army.
Amen.
From the youngest to the oldest.
Amen.
Even the young ones among us, they might not even realize it, but they're going to school in this age. It's not about just getting an American education anymore.
There is an authority of darkness. Do we see that? Do we realize the age that we're living in? Right? So how much more do we need to be strengthened? Do we need to be empowered? Right? To pray with one another, to pray for one another. Right? So that we could fight the spiritual warfare. The second point is, and this was actually, David mentioned that we came from this conference. One point that was brought out, and I just felt this is so relevant. In 2 Timothy 2, there is a description of a soldier. No one serving as a soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Right? So if we see that we are part of this army, we're fellow soldiers, you know, one thing we need to be watchful of is the entanglement. And I think it's very interesting. This verse says, entangles himself. So it's not that, oh, John Tien, I threw you into the entanglement. But actually, brother, we need to be careful. I could entangle myself with the affairs of this life. Right? And the affairs, I think we realize, it could be the necessities. Our education, our job, our family, our goals, our finances, all these things. They're human necessities. But are we entangled? Right? No one serving as a soldier can be entangled with the affairs of this life, that he may please the one that enlisted him. So I just feel in these days, brothers and sisters, if we realize we are in the Lord's army,
amen,
we really need to be before the Lord. Lord, am I entangled? Where's my heart? Is there anything, any element that is frustrating? Right? My love for you, my absoluteness for you. Right? Again, we need to take this way of a training, right? To allow the Lord to shine on us. And then lastly, I'll just finish with this point, is, this last point in the outline, and this was brought up by a few saints, if we would take possession of Christ for our enjoyment, we must be a corporate warrior.
Amen.
And we need to highlight, underline, corporate, right? We're not in the age of spiritual individual giants anymore,
right?
We need to see that this spiritual warfare is fought in and with the body.
Amen.
Because it's clear in Ephesians 6, it's put on the whole armor of God. One individual, one saint, one brother or sister cannot do that. But we need to see that we are now in the age of the body. Right? We are arriving at the reality of the body of Christ. This is so much light. I just realized I am so individualistic. I appreciate what was brought out. You know, this again is the church burden. It's not just because we need it as individuals, but for the Lord to gain the kingdom, because the land is to eventually to have the house and the kingdom and to prepare the bride, right? We need to be built up together as the body.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, this is so practical in our prayer life. I really amen what came out, right? Do we pray with one another? Again, we need to allow the light to shine, right? What do we do on Tuesday nights? Are we presenting ourselves to the prayer meeting of the church? Do we have companions? Right? We brought this out in the earlier of the year. Companions to pray with one another, to pray for one another, even pray for the needs of the church, of the saints. Maybe I could just finish with just some personal testimony. With some of the ones in this room, actually, we have prayer. And I really treasure our times of prayer. I really mean that. The more I go on in the Lord, the more I realize I am just so weak. I have a lot of failures. And without you brothers and you sisters, I cannot go on. Not recently, it's been a few months now, a young brother, a college brother, asked me if I could pray with him in the morning. He's not in this locality. He's actually outside of this locality. And I just felt this is really such the Lord's shepherding to me. You know, he's a college student. He's a college brother. And I'm going, my age is growing older and older. And you know, you might look at this relationship and you think, oh, this is a quote-unquote serving one, shepherding the college brother. But I could testify, and I could do this because he's not here. He's not in our locality.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, I treasure that time in the morning. Mm-hmm. I would even say I need that time in the morning. Mm-hmm. Because his going on is my going on. My going on is for his going on.
Amen.
We need to realize we depend on one another.
Amen.
Right? I appreciate what was brought up. In the mornings, it's a fight. It's a struggle. Right? To even pray. But are we fighting that on our own, or do we see that we have one another?
Amen.
We have one another in the body of Christ.
Amen.
That we could pray together.
Amen.
And to pray for. And so I just feel we really need to revisit this burden, right? We need to have and strengthen our spiritual companionship with one another.
Amen.
We need to form the corporate warrior.
Amen.
Right, of the church, and not go on and try to go on and try to be victorious in an individual way, because it won't happen, right? So may the Lord continue to speak to us.
Amen.
Give us a renewed training.
Amen.
For the next 11 weeks.
Amen.
Right, so that we could all fight for one another's entrance.
Amen.
And possession of himself as the good land.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We are not alone.
Amen.
We are not a single individual fighter.
Amen.
Thank you for putting us in the body.
Amen.
We have a brother and sister.
Amen.
We shall put on the whole army.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. Amen.
Lord, we give ourselves to you.
Amen.
So we can be having renewed training.
Amen.
Be trained by you.
Amen.
Train as a soldier in the army.
Amen.
So we know how to engage this corporate spiritual warfare.
Amen.
So we can possess and labor on the good land.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Again, us.
Amen.
Right. Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. To fight against your enemy in your body.
Amen.
Amen. Empowered in the Lord.
Amen.
In the might of your strength.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Empowering the Lord. That's Lord, empower us.
Amen.
Lord, empower us in all our situations.
Amen.
May we really see this spiritual warfare.
Amen.
May we really grasp hold of this land.
Amen.
I just wanted to make sure. I know there were like some of the kids.
Oh, challenge.